We greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin E. Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We open the musical part of our broadcast service with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, "He Was Wounded for Our Transgressions." Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we're thankful for the privilege we have of presenting the message of truth concerning the Lord Jesus on this broadcast. We know that in ourselves we are nothing, therefore we're asking that the precious Holy Spirit will anoint us and will use this broadcast to make it a blessing to each one of our precious listeners. They are all unseen to us, but I know that you see each and every one. So minister to our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing our broadcast now, the Way of Truth singers are going to sing for us, "I Believe He Would Go to Calvary for Me."
Love I can't understand, but I believe He'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to His death on a tree. If I were the only one to redeem, I believe He'd go to Calvary for me. If I held the key to prosperity and the wealth of this world in my hand, I'd give all that I own if these eyes just a glimpse of His love for this man. But I believe He'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to His death on a tree. If I were the only one to redeem, I believe He'd go to Calvary for me.
On today's broadcast, I'd like to bring you some thoughts concerning the Passover. We are told in St. John chapter 12 and verse 1 that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. So, at the time of the Passover, there were various ones who came up to Jerusalem early. And we see here that Jesus, on this particular occasion, came up to Bethany, which was a short distance from Jerusalem, 6 days before the Passover. In fact, it was there at a supper they were having for Jesus that Mary anointed Him against His burial. Now, I'd like to call your attention to some facts. Some people seem to think that the children of Israel were in Egypt for 430 years as slaves, but that is not correct. The Israelites, or Hebrews, lived in Egypt for over 200 years, but they were not slaves all that time. It is not correct to say they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. It was 430 years from the time God entered into covenant relationship with Abraham until the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, according to Galatians 3 and 17. Now in Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 and 41, we are told the sojourning of the children of Israel. And this does not mean that they were in Egypt during the 430 years of sojourning. Abraham lived for years after the covenant was given to him. And then, of course, he had his son Isaac, which lived for over 100 years. And then from Isaac and his wife came the two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob grew to manhood and went back to Haran, or in the area of Haran, and lived there for 20 years and married wives and got children. And then he returned to the land of Canaan. And Jacob and his wives had 12 sons and a daughter. Joseph was the 11th son, and he was the one that was sold into Egypt. And it was after he had brought his family, Jacob and the rest of the family, into Egypt that he later died. And we are told that it was after Joseph had died some years that the Pharaoh that came to the throne did not regard what Joseph had done, and he made the Hebrews slaves. His reasoning was that if some army invaded Egypt, that the Hebrews would rise up and join in with the invading army against him and his people. So he made them slaves. How long they were slaves, we do not know for certain. But we do know that during this time, Moses was born, and of course that was not the name his parents gave him. He got the name Moses because he was drawn out of the water. But when Moses came of years, 40 years, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Then Moses left Egypt and was gone for 40 years. And while watching his father-in-law's flock, he saw a burning bush, and he turned aside to see this strange sight. And he heard a voice saying to him, "Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." And there at the burning bush, Moses was given the responsibility of returning to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. For God said to him, "I have heard their cry, and I have come down to deliver them." And Moses, along with his brother Aaron, did return, and they went into Pharaoh, seeking Pharaoh's permission for the children of Israel to leave Egypt to worship God. But he refused to do so. And following this, we have 9 plagues. And I'll not go into detail in regard to those plagues, but we understand that each one was striking against some Egyptian god. And then it came time for the 10th plague, which was to be the death of the firstborn. But God made a way for the children of Israel to spare this. Every home that did not have blood on the doorpost, the firstborn, not only of the family of man, but of the animal kingdom as well, was to die. And so God gave Moses instructions in regard to how the children of Israel could be spared from this particular tragedy. Now, I'd like to quote from Russell Byram's book, Shadows of Good Things, for a little bit of background information. These sacred seasons that God gave to the children of Israel through Moses are referred to many times in the book of the law, but are more formally described in Leviticus 23 and Numbers 28 and 29. 1 weekly and 6 annual feasts are described in Leviticus 23. They are, number 1, Sabbath. Number 2, Passover, including unleavened bread. Number 3, first fruits. Number 4, Pentecost. Number 5, trumpets. Number 6, atonement. And number 7, tabernacles. Now, the Passover, Pentecost, and the tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles, were the three great feasts. And at each one of these, all the male children, 20 years of age and older, if they were able, they were required to gather at the national sanctuary. Of course, after the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, God placed his name at Jerusalem. And there was where these three great feasts were to be observed. Three times in the year, all the males shall appear before the Lord, according to Exodus 23:17, Deuteronomy 16:16. The first and last days of the unleavened bread and tabernacles, also Pentecost, trumpets, and atonement were to be observed as holy convocations or solemn assemblies. No work was to be done in them. They were special Sabbaths in addition to the weekly Sabbaths. These assemblies were not necessarily at the tabernacle, but except in the great feast, that is the three, in the communities where the people lived. The other feasts were allowed to be held in the communities where the people lived, but Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles was to be observed at the place God appointed. Now, as we return to the thought of the children of Israel in Egypt and the Passover there, the Lord told them through Moses that he would give them the beginning of months, and on the 10th day of the first month, they were to separate a lamb from the rest of the flock. This lamb was not to be over a year old, and it was to be spotless. It was to be without blemish. And then on the 14th day, they were to slay this lamb, and they were to take its blood, put it on the doorpost and the lintels. God told them how to prepare the lamb, and he said that they were to eat it all. And he told them they were to go in the house, and they were to stay in the house. Had they have slain the lamb and stayed outside the house, they would have not been covered by the blood. So they were to put the blood on the doorpost and the mantle, and then they were to go in the house, and they were to stay in the house. Along with the lamb, they were to eat unleavened bread and also bitter herbs. Now these are symbolical truths of great importance which are brought out, are fulfilled in the New Testament. Of course, the lamb that was to be separated without spot or blemish, and when they slew it, they were to make sure that no bone was broken. Of course, that lamb is a type of Jesus Christ. And the lamb was slain approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, for anyone to be covered by the blood, they must go in the house. And Paul said the house of God is the church of the living God. And to eat the lamb simply means that you receive Jesus Christ in reality and you live his gospel out in your life. For Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And so they were to eat the lamb in its entirety. And if the lamb was too much for one small family, two families could go together. But I want to emphasize the fact that they were to stay in the house, otherwise they would not be covered by the blood, until the death angel passed over the land of Egypt. And at the midnight hour, the death angel did pass over the land of Egypt. And this time, as God had told Moses, this time Pharaoh will let you go. And so God, through Moses, led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Now Egypt was a type of sin. Christ being the Lamb of God and his shed blood made it possible for their firstborn to be spared. And then they fled. They left the land of Egypt. And eventually, they came into the land of promise. And as I said earlier, there God placed his name at Jerusalem. There is where the beautiful temple Solomon built. And then later, the temple was restored after the children of Israel returned from Babylonian captivity. And, of course, Herod enlarged the temple at the time that Jesus Christ was here on earth. And so it was the Passover that Jesus had come up to Jerusalem to observe. And it was there at the time of the Passover that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was taken and was crucified. The typical significance of the Passover, Byram says, is very clear in the New Testament writings. Probably no Mosaic institution is a more perfect type than this. Of the Passover lamb, it was said that a bone in his hem shall not be broken, Numbers 9 and 12, which the Apostle John quotes as Christ himself, John 19 and 36. He plainly implies that Christ is the antitypical Passover. The Apostle Paul states this plainly as follows. Let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Christ died on the cross during the feast of the Passover. He was the Lamb of God, which the ancient Passover Lamb typified. He died to save us from God's judgment, as the Lamb died instead of the firstborn. As those ancient firstborn redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, therefore, belong particularly or peculiarly to God, so we, redeemed through Christ, belong to God in a special sense. We are saved by his death, not merely by his life. A live lamb tied at the door of one of those Hebrew homes in Goshen would not have been sufficient to shield the firstborn from wrath. It must die. Those who deny the vicarious death of Christ and teach salvation through his beautiful life alone disregard the lesson of the Passover. Now, in connection with the Passover was one day, but immediately following the Passover, there was to be 7 days of unleavened bread. God instructed the ancient Israelites that they should get all leaven out of their homes. And we are told that the ladies of the house would take their pots and pans and scrub them very tenaciously to make sure that not even a grain of leaven was left in any of the pots or pans. And one writer has said they swept the floor, and even if a mouse ran through the trice that they were sweeping, they would go back and sweep where the mouse went, because they took God so seriously that they wanted to make sure that there was no leaven left in their homes. Now, this is very important along with the Passover, for it tells us not only about the salvation of the Lord, the Passover, but it tells us the results of the Passover are the Lamb of God being slain. Again, let me read, "And as they must eat only unleavened bread, so we must reject malice, wickedness, and all other forms of sin, and live a holy life." So Paul interprets the unleavened bread, and it is well to note that the bitter herbs were eaten only at the Passover meal, but they ate unleavened bread for 7 days, or a complete period, in other words, a perfect number, a perfect period of time, following this, signifying that our repentance is to accompany our first partaking of Christ, but the holy life must continue on throughout life. those who teach we must sin more or less every day have utterly failed to grasp the significant truth of the feast of unleavened bread, so Russell Byram said. So not only did the Lamb of God suffer, bleed, and die on the cross to save us from our sins, but he also enabled us through his saving grace to live a righteous and a godly life. And that's what the 7 days of unleavened bread signifies, a holy, a righteous, and a godly life. Thank God Jesus purchased for us salvation from sin and the ability through his grace to live a righteous and a godly life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of God in bringing Jesus to be our Savior. We pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust our broadcast has been a blessing to you. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Shackled by a heavy burden, need the Lord of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.